KETR presents Texas Scribes, featuring the literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas. Welcome to Jan Hilton's reading of A Woman of Independent Means by Elizabeth Forsyth Haley.
The book, A Woman of Independent Means by Elizabeth Forsyth Haley, tells the fictionalized story of the Walcott family of Honeygrove. Mrs. Haley is a descendant of the Walcotts. The book was reviewed by Julie A. Cowley, Associate Vice President for Academic Administration at Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. The novel's central character, Elizabeth Alcott Steed, Bess, was born in 1890 in Honeygrove, a Texas town situated in Fannin County, but somewhat fictionalized in the book. The reader is introduced to Bess through her own letters, the first one written at the age of 9 and the last at 78. The recipients of her honest, sometimes humorous, sometimes sad, and always engaging communications range from Rob, her husband with whom she's been in love since the fourth grade, to her mother and father, to her college friend Totsie, one of the few people she befriends, purely on the basis of my own delight in them, and to her son and daughter, Andrew and Eleanor. December 10th, 1899, Honeygrove, Texas. Dear Rob, I just asked Miss Appleton to put us on the same team for the spelling bee. Since we're the only two people in the fourth grade who can spell perspicacious, our team is sure to win. Can you come over after school? The gardener is clearing the hollyhock bed, so there will be more room to play tag. It was my idea. Bess. January 2nd, 1900, Honeygrove. Dear Rob, happy new century! I wish I could live to see a new millennium. If you don't know what that means, I'll tell you after school. Can you come over today? I'll show you everything I got for Christmas. I got everything I asked for, but I always do. Bess. May 30th, 1902, Honeygrove. Dear Rob, good news! Papa rented his downtown lot to a merry-go-round for the summer. I talked him into taking half the rent and tickets. I'll split my share with you, and we'll ride round and round till time to go back to school. Bess. February 8th, 1906, Honeygrove. Dear Rob, this has been the longest winter of my life. I wish my parents would let you come up to my room when you bring my schoolwork, but everyone knows tuberculosis is contagious. I am sad to think you will be a grade ahead of me in September. To think I am just 15 and I have already lost a year of my life. Somehow I will make up for it, and then I will never lose another day. Your Bess. May 1st, 1909, Mary Baldwin College, Staunton, Virginia. Dear Rob, I have seen enough of the world, or at least the world without you. College is fine, but just the beginning of all I want to know. I can continue on my own. Next month I am coming home to stay. I will be in the front row for your graduation. Please don't accept any job offers until I get there. Ever your Bess. May 5th, 1909, Staunton. Dearest Mama, I will be home in a month, and Rob and I will be married this summer. Please don't say anything to him, as I want to be the first to tell him. I would like to be married in our front parlor. It's more splendid than any church in Honeygrove, and I have been happier there. I imagine it will be many years before Rob and I can afford a house as fine, but I want him to know what is expected of him. Your loving daughter, Bess. May 20th, 1909, Staunton. Dearest Papa, rest assured, my education means even more to me than it does to you. I fully intend to continue it, but since I never expect to complete it, why should I spend any more time at college? I love Rob, and I want to live my life at his side. I know his family has no money, and he cannot afford to be married now, but my family does, and I can. In the next few years, he will be making decisions that will shape the rest of his life. If I plan to share that life, and I do, then I must share those decisions. Your obedient daughter, Bess. November 10th, 1909, Dallas, Texas. Dearest Mama and Papa, I miss you very much, but even Rob now admits I was right in urging him to move here and go into real estate instead of following in his father's footsteps and teaching in Honeygrove. Last week, Rob sold a big block of property downtown and bought me a horse in Surrey to celebrate. Sunday, we are joining St. Matthew's Episcopal Cathedral. Please do not consider this decision any reflection on you. I enjoyed being a Methodist in Honeygrove, but Dallas offers a wider choice in everything, even churches. Your devoted daughter, Bess. April 2nd, 1910, Dallas. Dearest Mama, please forgive this scribble, but my hand is still shaking from a dream that seems more real than the daylight which has displaced it. I was dead and had been for 3 days, but Rob continued to sit across from me at dinner, sleep beside me through the night, and kiss me goodbye in the morning without even noticing I had ceased to breathe. His indifference in the dream so paralyzed me that I pretended to be asleep when he left for the office this morning. He has begun encouraging me to sleep late, I suspect because he prefers breakfast alone with his newspaper, and the dream suggests that in my heart I suspect even more. Dearest Mama, you asked me the night before my wedding if I had any questions. I didn't then, but now I am filled with them. I won't embarrass you with questions of a physical nature. In that area, Rob has provided answers to questions I didn't even know enough to ask. Indeed, nothing I had read or imagined prepared me for the physical passion marriage vows can unloose in previously chaste childhood sweethearts. Alone in the dark, Rob and I are one, complete and perfect and inseparable, two equal halves of a whole. It is daylight which disrupts the balance. My bad dreams begin at dawn when he arises for work, leaving me to sleep through the day if I choose. He asks nothing more of me than I be waiting for his return each night, and I sometimes suspect he would not object if he found me still in bed. He is my whole life, day and night, yet by day I become but a fraction of his. Am I the only wife to feel so wasted, so unused, so alone? I would not put this question to anyone but you, dearest Mama, and indeed I would feel I were betraying Rob by even thinking it if my dreams had not already betrayed my doubts. Please do not attempt to answer me on paper. I have decided to come for a visit next week so that we can talk at length and in private. I cannot risk having Rob find out that far from awaking Sleeping Beauty with his kiss, Prince Charming has put her back to sleep. I love you and need you, Bess.
You've been listening to Texas Scribes. Today's reading of Elizabeth Forsyth Haley's A Woman of Independent Means was read by Jan Hilton. Texas Scribes features literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas. It can be heard each Friday morning on KETR.